This is the NSCN ESOL International Proficient Level C2 listening examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on your examination paper. Put your answers on the mark sheet. The listening examination will now begin. Part 1. You will hear 10 sentences. Read the replies on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the replies on your examination paper. Listen to the sentences. You will hear the sentences in full twice. Choose the best reply for the situation. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
1. Excuse me, do you offer student discounts in your shop? 2. How did you cook these chips? They're delicious. 3. It's going to be warm tomorrow, for a change. 4. I'm thinking of adopting a cat. What do you think? 5. I've got an English exam tomorrow. 6. Would you mind opening the window? It's hot in here. 7. Why are there so many ads on YouTube? 8. Excuse me, how much is this jacket? 9. If you have time, could you help me in the garden today? 10. I'm bored and feeling fed up.
Now listen to the sentences again.
1. Excuse me. Do you offer student discounts in your shop? 2. How did you cook these chips? They're delicious. 3. It's going to be warm tomorrow, for a change. 4. I'm thinking of adopting a cat. What do you think? 5. I've got an English exam tomorrow. 6. Would you mind opening the window? It's hot in here. 7. Why are there so many ads on YouTube? 8. Excuse me, how much is this jacket? 9. If you have time, could you help me in the garden today? 10. I'm bored and feeling fed up.
'Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. You will hear 2 conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Listen to conversation one. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You'll then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Hello. I understand you hire out bouncy castles for children's parties. How much would it cost to hire one next Saturday?
Well, it depends on what type of castle you require. Our prices start from €50 for a 3x3 metre jungle-themed castle, up to €120 for a bouncy disco dome.
I need one that is safe for 5 to 7-year-olds. A simple, themed bouncy castle is ideal. Do you have one with a slide?
What size castle are you looking for?
I'm not sure. My garden is 15 square metres.
We have a pirate-themed bouncy slide castle that would fit your garden. It is ideal for youngsters under the age of 10. It's 5 metres wide, 8 metres long and costs €90 for one day.
What does the price include?
It includes delivery and collection, inflating it, safety mats, sandbags and public liability insurance.
Can I put up fairy lights around the castle and does it have a roof?
Yes, we can provide a plastic frame for the lights and the safety power lead for no extra cost. It has a roof and takes around 25 minutes to inflate. And we can deliver on Saturday, any time between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. We usually collect the following morning. It is rather large when deflated, so is there suitable access into the back garden?
Yes, you can go through the garage. Can you deliver at 11:30 and collect it on Sunday morning? It's better for me because I'm not sure what time the party will end and I don't want any disruption during the party. Can I book it, please? I'll pay now the €90 by card.
That's fine. We just need your personal and payment details, then we'll send you a confirmation email.
Great, thanks.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Hello. I understand you hire out bouncy castles for children's parties. How much would it cost to hire one next Saturday?
Well, it depends on what type of castle you require. Our prices start from €50 for a 3x3 metre jungle-themed castle, up to €120 for a bouncy disco dome.
I need one that is safe for 5 to 7-year-olds. A simple, themed bouncy castle is ideal. Do you have one with a slide?
What size castle are you looking for?
I'm not sure. My garden is 15 square metres.
We have a pirate-themed bouncy slide castle that would fit your garden. It is ideal for youngsters under the age of 10. It's 5 metres wide, 8 metres long and costs €90 for one day.
What does the price include?
It includes delivery and collection, inflating it, safety mats, sandbags and public liability insurance.
Can I put up fairy lights around the castle and does it have a roof?
Yes, we can provide a plastic frame for the lights and the safety power lead for no extra cost. It has a roof and takes around 25 minutes to inflate. And we can deliver on Saturday, any time between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. We usually collect the following morning. It is rather large when deflated, so is there suitable access into the back garden?
Yes, you can go through the garage. Can you deliver at 11:30 and collect it on Sunday morning? It's better for me because I'm not sure what time the party will end. And I don't want any disruption during the party. Can I book it, please? I'll pay now the €90 by card.
That's fine. We just need your personal and payment details. Then we'll send you a confirmation email.
Great. Thanks.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 2. Conversations. Listen to conversation 2. You'll hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Hello. I've got an appointment for an eye examination at 10 o'clock. My name is Anna Jones.
Please come in. When was the last time you had your eyes tested?
About 2 years ago. I know my eyesight has got worse. I'm short-sighted, but I have to take off my glasses to read, and I can't read what's on the TV screen. I'm also struggling to read road signs when I'm driving. I work on a computer a lot, and I find my eyes are becoming very tired and my vision is blurred. I don't want an extra pair of glasses to read because I don't want to have to keep swapping from one pair of glasses to another. I'd rather be able to use just one pair of glasses to read and see long distances.
It sounds like you need varifocals. That means the lenses of your glasses will have two different prescriptions. The bottom part of the lens will enable you to read and see things close up, and the middle to upper part of the lens means you can see long distances.
Are they expensive?
It depends on what extra things you have. For example, tinted lenses, anti-scratch and anti-reflection protection, and thinner lenses always cost more to make than thicker lenses.
I'd like the lenses to darken when I'm outside.
We can make lenses that react to sunshine, that's no problem. We also make lenses that react to strong daylight when you're sitting in the car. Have you chosen a frame yet?
No, not yet. I'm looking for something trendy. I don't want a metal frame, I much prefer plastic, and I don't want a pale colour, I prefer a darker frame.
Well, let's test your eyesight first, and then we can look at the frames. After that, we can talk about the lenses and how much everything will cost.
That's fine. Thank you.
Now listen to the conversation again.
Hello. I've got an appointment for an eye examination at 10 o'clock. My name is Anna Jones.
Please come in. When was the last time you had your eyes tested?
About 2 years ago. I know my eyesight has got worse. I'm short-sighted, but I have to take off my glasses to read, and I can't read what's on the TV screen. I'm also struggling to read road signs when I'm driving. I work on a computer a lot, and I find my eyes are becoming very tired and my vision is blurred. I don't want an extra pair of glasses to read because I don't want to have to keep swapping from one pair of glasses to another. I'd rather be able to use just one pair of glasses to read and see long distances.
It sounds like you need varifocals. That means the lenses of your glasses will have two different prescriptions. The bottom part of the lens will enable you to read and see things close up, and the middle to upper part of the lens means you can see long distances.
Are they expensive?
It depends on what extra things you have. For example, tinted lenses, anti-scratch and anti-reflection protection, and thinner lenses always cost more to make than thicker lenses.
I'd like the lenses to darken when I'm outside.
We can make lenses that react to sunshine, that's no problem. We also make lenses that react to strong daylight when you're sitting in the car. Have you chosen a frame yet?
No, not yet. I'm looking for something trendy. I don't want a metal frame, I much prefer plastic, and I don't want a pale colour. I prefer a darker frame.
Well, let's test your eyesight first, and then we can look at the frames. After that, we can talk about the lenses and how much everything will cost.
That's fine. Thank you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. You will now hear a debate and a discussion. You will hear them twice. You have 2 minutes to look at the questions for both the debate and the discussion. Now listen to the debate. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Welcome to Radio 4. Today, we're debating the issue of dog walking in parks. A lot of people own dogs. Are parks a good place to walk them?
Yes, why not? If you live in the countryside, it's not a problem. But parks are vital places for dogs in towns and cities.
But a lot of children play in parks, and it can be scary for some children if an unknown dog runs up to them, especially larger dogs. Shouldn't there be dog-specific areas in parks? Perhaps a fenced-off area of wasteland for dogs to run around in? Or owners should always walk their dogs on a lead?
I don't think that's right. Dogs have the right to exercise freely off the lead on an open piece of land, and owners are usually quite responsible. Larger dogs can be boisterous, but I don't think that means they're aggressive. They can always wear a muzzle anyway.
I don't agree with muzzling dogs. I don't like it. Walking dogs on leads is sensible, in my opinion. I also don't see the problem with having a dogs-only area. It doesn't have to be a small area, it could be a dedicated field.
Not all parks are large enough to accommodate a dog-only area. So long as dog owners manage their dogs and train them to behave around other people, there shouldn't be an issue.
What about dog behaviour around other dogs? That's more difficult to control, isn't it? Some dogs act out of character when they meet other dogs, and because they're pack animals, they misbehave and don't obey their owner's commands.
Only to a point. The majority of household pets respond well to their owners. It's playfulness that makes them misbehave.
Finally, I have to mention dog poo.
Absolutely, it's hazardous. Every dog owner has a responsibility to pick up their dog's poo by law.
Thank you.
Now listen to the debate again.
Welcome to Radio 4. Today, we're debating the issue of dog walking in parks. A lot of people own dogs. Are parks a good place to walk them?
Yes, why not? If you live in the countryside, it's not a problem, but parks are vital places for dogs in towns and cities.
But a lot of children play in parks, and it can be scary for some children if an unknown dog runs up to them, especially larger dogs. Shouldn't there be dog-specific areas in parks? Perhaps a fenced-off area of wasteland for dogs to run around in? Or owners should always walk their dogs on a lead?
I don't think that's right. Dogs have the right to exercise freely off the lead on an open piece of land, and owners are usually quite responsible. Larger dogs can be boisterous, but I don't think that means they're aggressive. They can always wear a muzzle anyway.
I don't agree with muzzling dogs. I don't like it. Walking dogs on leads is sensible, in my opinion. I also don't see the problem with having a dogs-only area. It doesn't have to be a small area. It could be a dedicated field.
Not all parks are large enough to accommodate a dog-only area. So long as dog owners manage their dogs and train them to behave around other people, there shouldn't be an issue.
What about dog behaviour around other dogs? That's more difficult to control, isn't it? Some dogs act out of character when they meet other dogs, and because they're pack animals, they misbehave and don't obey their owner's commands.
Only to a point. The majority of household pets respond well to their owners. It's playfulness that makes them misbehave.
Finally, I have to mention dog poo.
Absolutely, it's hazardous. Every dog owner has a responsibility to pick up their dog's poo by law.
Thank you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Part 3. Debate and discussion. Listen to the discussion. You will hear it twice. Answer the questions. You will then have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Good afternoon. Today's guest is a buildings preservation architect. I understand your work involves saving old buildings rather than demolishing them.
Yes, that's right. We try to preserve older buildings in towns and cities to ensure those areas don't lose their cultural and historical identity. For instance, the recent fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris nearly destroyed the 800-year-old famous landmark. It resulted in the loss of its medieval latticework roof and spire, but, fortunately, our work saves it from being demolished.
How do you ensure buildings like this are not pulled down?
We list them as heritage buildings, then restore them using traditional techniques and materials. Heritage buildings are symbols of our past, and we endeavour to preserve their authentic appearances, both inside and out. Furthermore, many heritage buildings have unique constructions, which we preserve to keep traditional building skills alive.
Do you think you will be successful in saving heritage buildings?
Maybe not all, but most of them. It's expensive and time-consuming to preserve historic buildings, but worth it. Notre Dame will take 15 to 20 years to restore. Work like this requires patient, slow, and careful restoration, but when it's finished, you'll hardly ever know it was done.
Do you think older design buildings fit next to modern ones? Is it difficult to achieve an aesthetic fit? Also, wouldn't you say newer buildings are safer?
Not at all. We ensure the preservation of heritage buildings by adding in hidden safety features such as fire alarms, sprinklers, and fire retardant materials. As far as an aesthetic fit with newer buildings, they can sit beautifully next to modern buildings, provided new designs are thoughtfully planned out. For instance, San Francisco Church in Spain was originally built in the 18th century, but its front entrance now has a brand new glass entrance that simply adds to the beauty of the church.
Thank you.
Now listen to the discussion again.
Good afternoon. Today's guest is a buildings preservation architect. I understand your work involves saving old buildings rather than demolishing them.
Yes, that's right. We try to preserve older buildings in towns and cities to ensure those areas don't lose their cultural and historical identity. For instance, the recent fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris nearly destroyed the 800-year-old famous landmark. It resulted in the loss of its medieval latticework roof and spire, but, fortunately, our work saves it from being demolished.
How do you ensure buildings like this are not pulled down?
We list them as heritage buildings, then restore them using traditional techniques and materials. Heritage buildings are symbols of our past, and we endeavour to preserve their authentic appearances, both inside and out. Furthermore, many heritage buildings have unique constructions, which we preserve to keep traditional building skills alive.
Do you think you will be successful in saving heritage buildings?
Maybe not all, but most of them. It's expensive and time-consuming to preserve historic buildings, but worth it. Notre Dame will take 15 to 20 years to restore. Work like this requires patient, slow, and careful restoration, but when it's finished, you'll hardly ever know it was done.
Do you think older design buildings fit next to modern ones? Is it difficult to achieve an aesthetic fit? Also, wouldn't you say newer buildings are safer?
Not at all. We ensure the preservation of heritage buildings by adding in hidden safety features such as fire alarms, sprinklers, and fire retardant materials. As far as an aesthetic fit with newer buildings, they can sit beautifully next to modern buildings, provided new designs are thoughtfully planned out. For instance, San Francisco Church in Spain was originally built in the 18th century, but its front entrance now has a brand new glass entrance that simply adds to the beauty of the church.
Thank you.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down. End of examination.